Hi, I'm Louisa Latella. Thank you for joining me. Today's podcast is an audio version of an article I authored for the 2006 third quarter issue of WLS Lifestyles magazine. WLS Lifestyles is a national publication dedicated to providing inspiration, education, and support for people struggling with obesity or maintaining a healthy weight. For more information, visit www.wlslifestyles.com. If after listening to this recording you have any questions or comments, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at louisa@louisalatella.com or call me at 856-429-9799. Thanks and have a wonderful day. At the writing of this article, my client Susie, which is not her real name as she wishes to remain anonymous, was 36 years old and 18 months post-op. She had lost 120 pounds and was at her goal weight. She was very committed to the process of her recovery and as such spent a great deal of time trying to understand how and why she ate the way she did in the past. She was able to identify several factors that contributed to her obesity. There was genetics, environmental issues, habits that developed over many years, as well as a significant emotional component. She was very successful at taking control of her eating behaviors. She most definitely had changed her lifestyle in a way that would support long-term weight loss. She exercises regularly, which she has actually come to enjoy, and has changed her way of eating entirely. Susie can now distinguish the difference between emotional and physical hunger, and most times will not eat in response to uncomfortable feelings. Despite her many successes, there was still an underlying feeling of unhappiness. It was difficult for Susie to own her accomplishments. She was disappointed and unhappy with much of her new body. She admitted that happiness or success was an uncomfortable feeling, and the language of failure was much more familiar to her. She was accustomed to not feeling good about herself. Based on past experience, she was just waiting to fail at this whole weight loss thing. As a matter of self-protection, she did not allow herself to enjoy her newfound, lighter life. So, since she felt like she had her compulsive eating under control for the moment, she now would spend significant time being critical of her new body. She was doing with her body what she used to do with food, namely avoiding her feelings. She was particularly harsh on her legs, so I had her write a letter to her legs. She was to tell her legs exactly what she thought of them when she was most annoyed with them, and then she was to have her legs respond in writing to her letter. This is what she wrote.
Dear legs, you are so fat and ugly. I am so embarrassed by you. Because of you, I can't wear shorts, let alone a bathing suit. Even when I lose weight, you don't look good. You are saggy. You look like elephant legs. You stop me from going to what could be some very fun social events because I don't want you to be seen. You stop me from enjoying the outdoors the way I would like. I hate you. Why couldn't you have been born naturally slender? Susie.
Her legs then responded. Dear Susie, I am so sorry that I have caused so much pain in your life. I feel so badly about myself when I hear all the things you say about me. My feelings are really hurt. I keep trying to make you love me, no matter how big you make me get by how much you eat, or how much excess skin you make me have because of how much weight you lose. I get up for you every day. I carry you to work and school. I let you ride a bike and walk in the park. Will you ever love me? Will I ever be good enough for you? Will you ever appreciate me? Is there something more I can do to make you love me? I am so sad. I try so hard. But no matter what I do, you hate me. Please, please, if there's something more I can do, let me know. Sincerely, your legs. Susie then wrote back to her legs.
Dear legs, I am so sorry. I never realized how badly I treated you. I know what it feels like to not feel appreciated and what it is like to try to earn the approval and love of someone important and have them just ignore you. I grew up with that. No matter what I did, I was not good enough. All I wanted was to be loved. I would have done anything. I now realize that I have been hurting you the same way I've been hurt in the past. I never wanted to treat anyone or anything that way. I do appreciate you. I appreciate that you have relentlessly shown up for me every day of my life, no matter how poorly I've treated you. I commit to you that from this moment on, I will never say another unkind word to or about you. I will treat you with the love and respect you deserve. In fact, I think I will shave and moisturize you right now. Please accept my apology. Hugs and kisses, Susie.
This was a most powerful experience for Susie. As she went through this exercise, she was stunned to realize that she was treating herself so badly. She didn't know she had it in her to be so mean. Susie spoke to her legs as she'd been spoken to as a child. In those moments when her, quote, legs were writing back to her, she began to sob and sob and sob. She was able to see herself as a young girl, just wanting more than anything to be loved, trying so hard to make her stepmother love her and to be accepted by her older step-siblings, to fit in and not feel like an outcast. But no matter what she did, it was never good enough. She never felt like she belonged. Now, more than 2 decades later, she came to understand that nothing was wrong with her back then. She was an innocent child with a ton of love to give, who would have done anything to have felt loved and accepted. It was really those who were mean to her that had the problem. This was the first time she ever felt genuine compassion and acceptance for herself. As she wrote back to her legs, she was also making a commitment to herself, to treat herself with love, kindness, and respect, recognizing that there wasn't a reason not to. She no longer needed anyone else's approval to feel of value. She was perfect just the way she was. Since then, Susie has become very conscious of her negative self-talk in relation to her body. Every time she notices that she is saying something mean, she will stop, apologize, and say something kind to herself. She notices that at times she will focus on her body if she is feeling anxious or scared. When she becomes aware of this, she is now able to, more times than not, take a deep breath, identify the kind of nurturing she truly needs in those moments, and make sure that she gets it. She is getting more comfortable with accepting compliments, though Susie admits it still feels awkward at times. She has noticed that she is walking a bit taller and holding her head a bit higher. She recently said to me,
"It is scary to embrace the idea that maybe things are really okay, and that this whole weight and body issue may be getting really resolved. That maybe I am really good enough, or even possibly great. I can't believe I just said that. But it does kind of feel good."
She has been amazed by the power of positive self-talk. Susie has come to understand that in a single moment, she can change her experience of her life by simply choosing to think a kind or loving thought. Like Thich Nhat Hanh, the mindfulness meditation teacher, once said, "There is no path to peace, enlightenment, or joy. There is only the choice you make in each moment. I hope you choose love, abundance, joy, and peace."